Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy.
In this episode, I hop back to jail. We're going to discuss the most recent daring escape from a Newport News jail. Apparently, these two prisoners found a way to get out of a jail by using a toothbrush and a small piece of metal. Not only are these guys geniuses in being able to get out of a jail, but they are also very hungry because they ran over to an IHOP that was 7 miles away. In doing so, they decided to pass a Waffle House because their hunger was for pancakes at IHOP. So, this raises a few questions. A, this is awesome. And how do they come up with some plan like this to embarrass
an entire... Define awesome.
Look, I think it's pretty cool that these guys got out using these things. Now, of course, it's not good when people escape, but to have the patience to dig out of a brick wall with a toothbrush, it's pretty amazing. And it reminds me of Shawshank Redemption, but this one took only minutes and not 20 years, which is kind of bizarre because I don't know. This is real life.
I mean, how did we know how many minutes it took?
Well, it could have taken that long. You can see a picture in the newspaper. This hole is big enough to fit a human body out of. It's not small. And it's not like Escape from Alcatraz where they had this fake like wall made out of plaster that took them months and weeks and whatever and years to make. This is like a huge hole.
How do we know how long they were in the jail?
So according to one news article, one of them had been in jail since December. The other had been in custody since October. So not incredibly long.
So that's assuming they started right off the beginning, but I'm sure they had
someone didn't start it for them and then they got out or something and then they just continued on.
So the hole was there forever, but the guards are just really bad.
Well, it says they used tools to dig far enough into the wall to access untied rebars, which they then used to dig even faster. And they then scaled the exterior wall and ran for their freedom.
Wow.
Wow. You really want an IHOP.
They set their goal and they took aim.
And it says a team of engineers and law enforcement are currently reviewing and formulating ways to mitigate the aforementioned facility weaknesses.
Probably should have thought of that before. You know, they made they had the engineers come up with a jail.
Oh, they also say they confirmed the construction flaws present throughout the Newport News jail annex, but they did not go into further detail about security concerns.
No kidding.
I'm sure there's going
to
be.
This jail is very easy to dig out of.
There's going to be a whole bunch of bad breath in that jail for the next couple of weeks because they're not handing out any toothbrushes at all. Like, here's your bottle of Listerine. That's all you get, sir. Was that a mic drop?
I was just going to say, is that the looks end
like
of it?
Looks like the one guy was in since, Tony talked about, was in since October, and he was in on 25 charges.
Oh, really?
But they're all nonviolent. It was like drugs and larceny and credit card theft and tampering vehicles to try to get stuff. Sounds like obviously he had a drug problem.
Right. The thing is, you know, you think that he must have been facing a whole bunch of time. You would think that because why would you take a chance of adding more charges to you, which apparently in Virginia, it's a class 6 felony to escape from prison. Is that right? I know you guys were discussing that beforehand.
Well, this type of escape without force, which this is, would be considered a class 6 felony. The only class 4 felony I could find is if you escape burning down the jail, which I feel like is very dangerous.
Well, setting fire.
Yeah, which apparently could have happened in this jail because the walls must have been made of paper. So
they're like the Three Little Pigs house, right? Like they're just like.
But you know, I'm reading this, and apparently, it's a medium security facility. Makes you think what a low security. It's like, here, go ahead, just walk out. Don't worry about a toothbrush. It's fine. Usually, the judge tells you to take a toothbrush in for different. What's that?
Like it had to be making some kind of noise. Like how did nobody like hear it or do anything? You know what I mean?
What's going on in there? I just got a lot of plaque today. That's all.
And I think Mr. Garza was in on a probation violation.
Which, of course, you have to find out what the underlying charge was. He might have been facing like 25 or 30 years on that.
He had a felon possession weapon, ammo, not gun. He had, it looks like, that was certified to circuit court. Looks like he had some drug possession cases.
Are you looking on the website?
Looking on the Crazy Courts website that has lots of things.
Are you doing the state search?
Yeah.
It's a good move. I was actually doing that myself.
A good move. This is how we learn things, people. Your information, when you get arrested, goes on this particular thing.
Yes. Yes. There's no privacy, as they say.
Yeah, so it looks like Mr. Garza had a fair number of he's on probation for drugs and a nonviolent, felon in possession weapon/ammo, but not a gun.
Here's what's bizarre as well. So they were found 7 miles away. I think the manhunt took 2 hours. To go 7 miles in 2 hours, and I'm assuming they weren't on main streets. They must have been going through the woods. That's a pretty quick pace.
Is it though?
Not when you're running for your life. Of course they're
going to. Well, I mean, people can run 26 miles under. I mean, they're on
a road, I'm assuming. Of course, this is just speculation, but I'm assuming they avoided roads and ran through, let's say it's a cross-country race. 7 miles in 2 hours. I mean, that's pretty quick. I'm thinking
like
that
the jail annex is right in town. It's just literally on the street in Newport News, looking at the Google Maps that I'm looking at.
Well, then they're wearing orange in this mugshot. I can't imagine somebody didn't call them in.
They're just like, I really need pancakes. I'm so
Newport News, we're all about construction. It's like they thought they were construction workers in their orange gear. I know.
But I'm sure the call came from there. They're like, hey, there's some guys here.
The call came from a worker or some bystander in the IHOP. And it's like, well, hey, these guys look like people who escaped prison. It was like, well, yeah. I mean, they ordered like a steak knife and a hacksaw so they'd take off whatever they had on their legs. It's odd. I find the whole thing odd and awesome at the same time. It's just, I don't know. I'm not glorifying these two. It's just unbelievable that they were able to do
it. It's IHOP in Hampton, right?
IHOP in, let me see here.
Correct. Hampton. Correct.
Hampton.
How are they going to pay for it? I guess if you escape jail, you were going to run out on your tax.
Right.
That wasn't their biggest concern, I don't think.
What were they wearing? Were they wearing jail clothes?
They might have stolen stuff off of, this is all assuming, speculation, but they might have stolen stuff off of some clothesline that's drying, because I can't imagine they were going to IHOP dressed the way they're prisoners dressed. I like in one article, it's like
that. Also, they went to this IHOP. It's like they knew where, these guys are local. They know where it is. At least here, we used to have people who worked work release at restaurants like IHOP. It's very possible that they had a connect there. I mean, it seems like drugs are these guys' issue.
I wonder if they found the tool on them and got them for burglary tools or something.
Well, one of them already had a burglarious tool thing pending, I think it was, right?
I didn't see that. It could be. There was a lot of charges. I didn't categorize them.
I wonder what they got at IHOP. I'm sure Alberto has some ideas.
The Grand Slammer?
That's Denny. Denny has the Grand Slam.
They have a Grand Slam, but IHOP does it better with a Grand Slammer.
Yeah, I'm just interested in knowing why the jail being on fire is a big part of the statute. My whole curiosity about this is why the only way you would have a class 4 felony for an escape is if you escape by setting fire to the jail. And
because you're putting other people in danger, and then you probably get murder charges on top of, or attempted anyways.
But setting fire to the jail is also part of the arson statute.
Well, okay, but maybe that was written, that part was, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, but was it written back in the day when they had people in a temporary
facility? It's also a class 4 facility. Felony. The wooden.
It could happen.
I'm just seeing all their comments. Tony for the zinger. Go ahead, Tony, with your extradition comment.
Is there extradition from?
No, Tony said there is extradition from the International House of Pancakes.
That's awesome.
It's better than anything Alberto can come up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it is. It is. Did they go to Interpol for that? IHOP. That's awesome.
Alberto, IHOP ad. We are so good. You can't imagine the lengths people will go to eat here.
I just love it. I mean, it's so, I don't know, this story just, it's a combination of two of my favorite movies, Shawshank and The Great Escape. There's a hole that was common in both, you know, both movies and both escapes. There's, I guess they didn't have to travel through like a tunnel of crap like they did in Shawshank or like he did in Shawshank or swim across this, you know, San Francisco Bay. But still, they had to go 7 miles and they chose to go to IHOP. At least what Dufresne, who's the guy in Shawshank?
Well, there aren't donuts at IHOP, right? Maybe they didn't think the cops would go there.
Oh,
just kidding.
Which, by the way, and
my you dad know, was a cop.
I exactly. Didn't make that joke.
Well, the funny thing too is you don't have to escape from jail to get this charge. It's not just escaping from a facility where you're being detained. There's other ways you can get this charge.
Well, you can get it from fleeing from if you're under arrest, fleeing from law enforcement, right? Or are we thinking something else?
Yeah, you have to be in the lawful custody of any police officer.
There's also a statute under the code whereby if you have a substance abuse issue, you can be sentenced to a treatment facility. And the statute specifically says if you leave that treatment facility, it is considered escape.
Huh, that's kind of messed up.
Well, you're being sentenced to the facility, so they consider the facility your jail for all intents and purposes.
Well, the statute without force says if you're confined in jail or lawfully in the custody of any court, officer of the court, or of any law enforcement officer for violation of probation or parole or on a charge of conviction of a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on which one.
So well, I hope you got the Swedish crepes because it's my favorite pancake at the IHOP. I hope they got those.
Yeah, you did order that. So if you're sentenced, this is coming up from the drug treatment facility conversation we just had. There used to be, I remember they used to use the house arrest. There was a program for that. Do you guys remember that? I'm not sure if they've used it recently, but there was a way to actually serve your time at home, but you wouldn't get
You don't get good time.
You don't get good time. But it didn't always have the ankle monitor.
No.
But you have a better time.
Yeah, but you most of the time in Fairfax, I think we almost had it. I think in Fairfax, we definitely had, I think we always did house arrest with the ankle monitor, but maybe.
Okay, so the point is, like a treatment facility, if you leave your home, you're not charged with escape.
If you're sentenced under, was it 18-2-254 to a treatment facility, then that's correct. When you get charged with escape.
Right. But on the same premise that you're leaving your sentence, if you're sentenced to house arrest,
sure,
you probably have the same security as a treatment facility, which is none.
But if you were sentenced as a condition, you had to do substance abuse treatment and you went to a residential facility and you just left, you would not be charged with escape. It had to be sentenced under 18-2-254.
I get that.
That's the only caveat for like escape. For that purpose, you're sentenced to that place.
I get it. I'm just wondering, why isn't it like that for house arrest? I mean, would you be brought up on a show cause, failure to comply?
But wasn't
well, a lot of times can't you escape house arrest?
Yeah. Say again?
You can escape house arrest.
Is it charged as escape?
Yes.
Well, that's and if you're on monitoring, why wouldn't it be charged with tampering with the devices and stuff too?
I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm just saying I haven't seen it. I'm sure
you haven't had that case, but you just read if any person confined to jail or in custody after conviction. So he's in custody. I mean, it's how punished. And then I think it's.
Well, custody, I read that to mean in custody, say on your way to jail. So you are remanded back to whatever.
You're lawfully in the custody of a court when you've been confined to house arrest, right? Is that what that means?
Because I think you have to have some sort of custody from an official. So I'm trying to look up these notes.
But if you're sentenced to a drug treatment program and you leave, you can be charged with escape. I know that. I just was looking to see if it was part of that statute.
Right. I've got my research hat.
Really, actually need Tony to research this, because no offense, Alberto. He's much more.
You had to go there. We were doing so good.
Well, I had to do something. I mean, we've been way too nice.
You two are never doing so good.
All right, let me see your presumptions.
Unless you're sleeping. Then you guys are good to each other.
We're nice if we're sleeping.
Yes, if you two are sleeping, then you're nice to each other.
Nah, she's probably dreaming how to be
mean. Yeah, so that statute has escape in it. So it's interesting. So is there a house arrest statute?
That deals with the home electronic incarceration. They talk about assigning you to that as opposed to sentencing you to that. And that statute itself has punishment for leaving your area of confinement. And I think it's just a class one misdemeanor.
Right. So it's different because it's not from a facility that's state run. And you're not in anybody's custody. Yeah,
but 254 isn't covered by the escape statute. They have an escape statute written into it. If you do this, it's considered escape, but it's written into the statute.
So, but if the 254, and I'm going to pull that up, does 254 also cover it doesn't cover home arrest?
No, that's just like for when you leave a substance abuse place. So it's you're not, they had to write it in there because as you said, Alberto,
if you were ordered into it to serve the mandatory DUI time, and you left,
I've used that before, but that's why I went into the whole thing with house arrest. It's not the same thing. And I think somebody said you would get charged with escape leaving house arrest, but I don't think that's the same because you're not in custody.
No, well, so Tony just found the house arrest statute and said you would just be charged with leaving home incarceration, which is a class one misdemeanor, right, Tony?
Correct.
And that makes sense.
It says escape penalty at the bottom.
So what's the difference in the escape statute between custody and in prison? I think custody can mean, in jail or custody. Custody can mean if you're outside of the jail and they just put that in there to cover those instances when you are being transported between jails, or you have been convicted and the bailiff or deputy puts you in custody and is going to send you, which, by the way, I did see that recently where an individual was going to trial and took off. They brought him into the courtroom and he was dressed in as civilians because that's what you have a right to do. And the dude just took off and left, but he wasn't in the jail. He was in the courtroom, but he was in the custody.
It's funny. They use the word in the home electronic incarceration. They use the word escape in the title, but they never, ever use it in the actual statute.
Huh.
They just say any offender or accused assigned to such a program without proper authority or just cause leaves his place of home electronic incarceration area to which he has been assigned to work or attend education or other rehab programs, including a court-ordered intensive case monitoring program for child support, is guilty of a class one misdemeanor, but it never uses the word escape. That's very interesting. The one guy had to be charged under 479 because he was before conviction. He was just charged.
Okay,
That had to be 479. I thought escape with force required you don't have to assault somebody, but it has to be some level of violence or pushing to get out of something, where maybe not digging a hole.
They dug a hole already. Let's see.
They certainly did.
They dig a hole for their sentence.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just keep thinking about Bugs Bunny. I don't know. Warner Brothers digging their hole underneath the wall and coming out. I don't know why I keep thinking that. All right. So here's where I'm heading. So
where are you
headed? 477 covers somebody who's in custody. Or is a person confined in jail or in custody after conviction?
Right. It's after conviction.
In jail or in custody after conviction.
Right. These guys were pending charges, so it had to be under 479.
Got you. But what happens if it's confined in jail or in custody after conviction, but without force or violence?
479 encompasses people being convicted as well.
So now let's go to the flip side of that. How about the one where people who are confined in jail before conviction.
479.
Got you. But then they use force before conviction. Where's
470,
that?
479 is without force. 478 is with force.
478.
For our listeners, we know you don't care about the statutes. Right. So I was just looking at some of the case notes under 478, and it says the evidence was sufficient to convict a defendant of attempted felony escape because there was no damage to the cell before his detainment. He was the only person to use the bathroom before they discovered the damage, and the officers discovered a large hole in the ceiling within minutes of transferring him from the cell. And evidence revealed no other explanation for why he created a 1 to 2 foot hole in the holding cell's bathroom ceiling. So they got him for attempted escape.
Maybe he had a reverse explosion from his bowels. Sometimes that happens, right? Could happen.
It looks like Garza was not charged under that code scheme at all, but instead under crimes and criminal proceedings involving prisoners for destroying property to escape and also can escape under, it looks like, 53.1-203.
Wait, why would he be, the jail annex something else?
So he has two charges, prisoner escape under 53.1-203. And then he also has prisoner damage property to escape under 53.1-203. And that's Garza. I have not looked up the other guy.
Why wouldn't you just charge them with escape?
Because it's crimes by prisoners. So it says it shall be unlawful for a prisoner in a state, local, or community correctional facility or in the custody of an employee to escape from a correctional facility or from any person.
Right, I hear you. But there's also 477 is listed as prisoner escaping from jail. It is also a crime by a prisoner. I mean, why do we have like four different escape statutes?
It looks it's like
any. So it says
Mr. Nemo has the same charges.
Because they're all class six felonies. Although one is mandatory minimum. So
under 203, there's one class five too.
Well, that's class five only if it's under for drugs.
I was just pointing out that there's one for class five.
But why they would charge they have
it under this? Because it's a mandatory minimum.
But that's why have it under 18.2 and 53?
And 53 gives a worse penalty because you get the mandatory minimum.
But why? They're almost the same. That's what I'm saying. Like it's like adding statutes that we don't need to add.
If they're a felony, it gets enhanced and they will be serving a mandatory minimum term. So that might be why. I don't know if these guys are felons already.
Ours is a felon.
Okay, so this one
I don't
here,
know if the other guy is, but he probably is. But it's
so this one here would actually increase his...
increases his penalty because you get a mandatory right. minimum. It's the
so
same.
That might be why they would charge under this statute versus the other.
It is why they charged it, but I think Ken's point was that why have two statutes covering it, right? Like why
I get her point. I'm just throwing out theories as to why they would charge this.
So you're really actually just not commenting on her point.
Yes.
All right, you know. I was just trying to look at the case notes under 53.1, but there's not really. I was looking at the legislative intent behind it.
Yeah. So was I.
It says under the case notes, when the defendant escaped, he was liable under 18.2, 479 and 53.1203 because he was an inmate in a penal institution. And then he was also liable under 479 because he was lawfully in the custody of a law enforcement officer on a charge of criminal offense, but it can only be prosecuted under one. So I guess they've got different
things. Did the case notes say that you can only use one of the...
Yeah, it says it may be it's in caps. It says may be prosecuted under only one section. It's prosecutorial discretion. I don't know why they couldn't put it all in one section.
Well, there is a code section that says if there's two statutes that encompass the same thing, you can't try them on both. So just let me see.
If, probably in that case.
So 19.2, 294, the same act be a violation of two or more statutes or of two or more ordinances or of one or more statutes and also one or more ordinances. Conviction under one of these statutes shall be a bar to a prosecution of the other. That would cover this.
But in some situations, it's not, right? When like painting money by false pretenses and like credit card theft or something, I mean, isn't there like...
There's one about, say, malicious wounding and then using a knife or a gun to commit that. There's actually two statutes you can be convicted of both. I found that to be odd.
Well, like hit and run and involuntary can be charged and convicted. You can be convicted of both.
And I can understand that because there's two completely different elements to it.
Well, this says when they're working out on the side of the road, it was immaterial that he was in the jail or working on the outside of the road or out on the road to get the escape. And there's another one where they were allowed to leave to go to a funeral, but then never came back. And they said that was not escape, that they were no longer in the custody of the facility.
Right. Depending on how they do the furlough, they used to send people out. That, like if you could take someone out by yourself.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the circumstances. That's probably why they make you do that now. For our listeners, as we've been kind of going through this, there's a couple different statutory sections in Virginia's law that allow for people that escape from custody or jails or officers that have them in custody, whether they're en route to court or the jail or anything like that. And some are found under crimes by prisoners section, which is a set of this code that's under 53.1. And then under a different section, under 18.2, Virginia has a set of statutes that deal with escape of prisoners, communication with and deliveries to prisoners, which is under crimes against the administration of justice. So we've got it in a couple different places. There's some that are crimes against the administration of justice, and then there's some that are proceedings involving prisoners and crimes that prisoners can get. And it all depends on whether there's force, what you're in the jail for, how you escape, whether it's with force or not. And it gets kind of complicated. But I think our whole point in this is that when we saw this article, to think that you're going to escape with a toothbrush, end up at IHOP, and then you go right back to the jail. What people need to understand with this is no matter where you're escaping from under the law in Virginia, it adds to not only new charges, but if you're already serving time and you've got suspended time or backup time, you can get those things as well. And I'm guessing the officers at the jail are going to be checking on you quite a bit more, and your privileges that you had are going to be out the window a little bit because they're going to be worried about you doing anything else to try to get their facility in the news, would be my guess. What do you guys think?
Do you think they check for civilware before they let them back into the jail?
I'm guessing if you escape from jail under these circumstances with digging a hole out, that you're probably getting, I would go so far as to say, body searched to make sure you don't have anything going in and out. I don't know. Not sure what the exact laws for that are, but.
Do you think someone will brush their teeth for them after this?
Maybe not let them brush their teeth. Maybe they only can use their finger. I don't know.
Maybe not with a toothbrush. Ugh. Anyway, kudos to these guys for trying their best. That's a tough, daring escape, and I'm glad nobody got hurt.
Well, would you have gone to IHOP, Waffle House, Denny's, or some other place?
I would have gone to McDonald's, so it'd blend right in.
Anna, where would you have gone?
You know, I'm an IHOP person.
Tony?
I think I would have done the Waffle House.
Hmm. I like Silver Diner.
They're not too popular. Could have gone to Wawa. They're everywhere. Well,
you know, but Tony, you're from New England, so how about the Dunkin' Donuts?
Actually, I really like Bob and Edith's in Arlington. They've got really good
food. That is a good place, but that's a really long hike from Newport News.
Well, I don't know what else is down in the Newport News that's like Bob and Edith's.
Well, when there's competition between IHOP and Waffle House, that'll pretty much give you an idea of what other restaurants are there.
I think I would have gone to Waffle House over IHOP.
I would have gone to the closest one.
Why? They'll find you at the closest one.
You know, it is possible, I guess, that they had somebody there at the IHOP that they knew and was probably going to help them out. Who knows? It's possible. Just, again, hypothetically.
I agree. I think they probably did know somebody at the IHOP, but the bottom line is they got released in the city. So unless, if they're going to go to any public establishment after you break out, you know you're going to get caught.
How about you don't go in public?
Usually people hide out. I think they were going to IHOP to find a fix. It seems like the one guy especially had a really long drug record, but they both did.
And they have the munchies.
So what I would say in conclusion is that most of the time, any effort that somebody makes to get away from the police, to try to avoid arrest, or to get out of the jail after they're lawfully there is just going to make their situation much worse. So you should just not do that.
A very good point.
And my point is, if you do decide to escape, do it someplace where nobody wants a mandatory minimum on you and won't charge you with the more serious version of escape, because at least you will have an open sentencing. That's the only hope you have.
You aiding and abetting escape prisoners?
Absolutely. I'm just aiding and abetting less sentencing time.
Well, and I'll just end with, if you do happen to try to escape and you do happen to get caught, we'll end with our favorite phrase, shut the front door.
And hire a lawyer.
She should say, look casual. Don't look like you're wearing a jumpsuit.
So the bottom line, I think, is that if you escape, you're probably going to get caught.
And the bottom line is, if you escape, I wouldn't go to IHOP.
Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.
If you enjoy our podcast, Crime Time, with Virginia defense attorneys, be sure to share our podcast with someone that you know. You can find our podcast on most of the major platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple, as well as some of the smaller podcast platforms. We also post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so you can find our episodes there every week on Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you want to leave us a review or a comment and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about, we always welcome feedback, and we're always looking for new ideas and guests to bring onto our show. We hope you keep listening, and thanks for being a supporter of our podcast.